The Fan on Demand.
Time for Tim and Sid.
It's time for Real Sports Talk with Tim McAuliffe and Sid Sexero.
Thank you, Sheepdogs, for the first time in 2013. The Sheepdogs make an appearance here on Tim and Sid. Always appreciate it. We're going to stay on this hockey thing, if you want to call it that. In New York, one of the plethora of people standing outside the league offices, freezing through their long johns, Elliot Friedman will join us momentarily.
Time for Tim and Sid.
Long johns?
Time for Tim and Sid.
Oh, they're long.
Time for Tim and Sid.
And warm.
Time for Tim and Sid.
And they got like a CBC logo on them and everything.
Oh, nice.
Oh, they're really good.
Like Under Armour things?
Oh, yeah, completely.
Like what I wear underneath my my hockey gear.
Oh, yeah. Well, Friedge has that body composition.
Right, right.
Sam Mitchell will be joining us as well. Kobe kind of is going off the correct term for last night, or just being honest. Kobe had some very interesting
it is somewhere age-related in
comments last night.
It's with Kobe, there's a little bit of scales of justice to this. You could look at it two different ways. You could look at it as Kobe going off and being a jag-off, or you could look at it as Kobe telling the truth. We'll ask Sam Mitchell what he thinks.
We'll dissect. And both the first and second overall picks in the 2006 NBA entry draft will be in the building tonight at Air Canada Center.
Well, you're going Bargnani and LaMarcus Aldridge.
Well, I thought Kyle Lowry went second. You're right, it was Aldridge. I didn't even know. No, I knew. Although Lowry was in that first round too, by the way.
Yeah. Yep.
He was there too. All right, let's get down to New York and talk to Elliot Friedman and have him try and convince me that there is just as much optimism in the air as it appears to be, because it's a tough sell for me right now because I'm just not optimistic on anything. Friedge, how you doing?
Good. Tim, how are you guys doing?
Very good. We're
you sound thoroughly enthralled.
Did someone
excited.
Throw What's you like in a bin behind a building? Where are you right now?
I'm actually in one of the satellite trucks.
Oh, nice. Keep them warm?
Yes, very warm. Very warm in here. And yes, I am an Under Armour denizen.
Nice.
I was wearing it yesterday, and you would not be surprised. You were talking about my body composition. Yes. I look spectacular.
Yeah, well, it's uncanny that we talked to you about Under Armour. You and Ray Lewis in the mirror looks like the same dude.
Same dude.
No, I really don't like it. Like when they show those pictures of Ray Lewis in the mirror and they take his head and put it on my body. I think it's really unfair.
Yeah, you should sue. There's copyright infringement there.
At least
sure.
Body double marketing rights, right, Preach?
Yeah, I'll take it. I'm looking for a good payout on that. Yep.
All right, Sid says that he is, he's at 10% that we'll be talking about actual games on the ice in January. Are you a little more optimistic than my boy?
Percentages are really dumb because Sid can then say, if it happens, Sid can then say, well, I only said 10%. I didn't say zero. Just as like he never said that Canada was going to obliterate Honduras that
one
day.
Oh, wait a second.
All right, quick story. Considering nothing's going on in New York this morning, quick story. I'm sitting there last Friday. I'm the one watching primetime sports on Sportsnet 1, 4 to 5, and you were doing a great job.
Nice.
Until Elliot goes into this complete fib of a story about how I guaranteed a Canada win over Honduras back in the day. Arash is telling this beautiful first-person account tale of his lasting image of 2012, and Friedrich decides to destroy me up and down with lie upon lie that I guaranteed this, and I said we. Oh, it was just it was awful. It was awful, Friedrich, and kind of funny.
Even if it was untrue, it was still funny.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Which is the key in sports radio. It doesn't matter if you're true or not, just that you're funny.
Yeah.
It's like apparently, like, I don't follow this hockey insider guy, but apparently he went on Twitter yesterday and said 95% sure a deal is getting done. And, like, that's the dumbest thing ever. I mean, like, what if the other 5% happens? I mean, you know what? Honestly, guys, there's a lot of, like, this pension thing, the fact that it's an issue again is unbelievable, really. But I think it just shows you, you know, It's a test of wills. They're not exactly making huge concessions. I think they're inching towards each other. But, you know, until we get to the absolute end, which is probably in anywhere from 3 to 7 days, then it's going to be like this. It's not going to come to, it's not going to get settled until we're right at the end.
And you've been saying that for like a month, which is part of Sid's frustration on this, is that now the urgency comes when you're pushed up against it. But that's kind of the case in every negotiation, isn't it?
Yes. And by the way, I guess I should address the whole Honduras thing. I will tell you this, Mr. Sixero, and Tim, you can tell me if I'm wrong. But I was listening legitimately to you guys that day. I mean, I think my radio was broken or something like that. I couldn't
change
the knob.
Yeah.
So I was listening to the show, and
changed the knob.
Sid, you sure made it sound like Canada was going to win that game. So I'm like, I better watch this. This could be a significant Canadian sporting milestone. And it was a significant Canadian sporting milestone, but for all the wrong reasons. So I do hold you responsible.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. But
yes.
But then give me some credit for being able to hype up things awesomely. Because that's basically what I did.
So, Fridge, I come into work on, when did we get called in? Because Fridge went to the, Monday.
Yeah. We got called Monday. Oh, yeah.
Right. Thanks, Fridge, by the way.
Thanks, Carmen San Diego.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So I get called into work on Monday, and Sid goes, you got to listen to this. And he proceeds to play me Friday's edition of Primetime Sports.
Merrick was in the room, by the way.
Yeah.
Merrick was in the room.
And I'm chuckling the whole way until you say McAuliffe knows nothing about nothing. And then now I'm gloves are off with me, too.
Oh,
I'm chuckling. This is funny. Sid, wait a second.
Fridge, I got to be honest. I sat through 8 minutes of me getting ripped for that line for McAuliffe to hear it.
You know what one of my friends said to me about after listening to that? He said, why can't you be that good and that funny all the time?
You know what's funny about that, though? People telling on you on Twitter. You have no
idea. It's instigating.
What are you, grade three?
Potsters,
you should hear what Elliot's. And then they tag you at Fridge Hockey Night is saying, shut up. What are you, eight? Elliot's making fun of you. Shut up. Incredible.
All right, hold on. I got a legitimate question here.
Really?
The certification disclaimer of interest. I think it's important that people know what could transpire tonight. If this in fact happens, Fridge, is it just part of the negotiation and more kind of rhetoric, or is this the first step to the season being shut down?
You know, here's the thing. Like, the NHL has hinted for a while now that if the players do this, they'll shut down the season. I don't buy that. I think that's a scare tactic, just like I think the NHL is right when it says the players disclaiming is just a negotiation tactic. Of course it is. That's exactly what it is. You know, I think everybody has to realize that even when the NBA pulled this stunt in November 2011, they still sat down and negotiated and got a deal done. It took a 15-hour session, but they did it. You know, the only reason you disclaim, I mean, is it a negotiation tactic to force the other side to want to get a deal done? But the one thing I do think, Tim, now is that even if whether the players do or don't do that by 11:59 p.m. tonight, the fact is there's two sides here right now that are legitimately trying to make a deal. Is it going to work? I don't know. I think it will, but I don't know. Are they going to be supremely pissed off at each other throughout today and the next few days? Yes, but that's going to happen anyway. I don't know if it changes things right now, whether they do or don't, but if they don't get a deal done, then it will change things in the courtroom. I don't know how relevant it is to right now at this time while two sides are legitimately negotiating hard.
Elliot Friedman here on Tim and Sid Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Elliot is being heated by radiation energy coming from the truck that
he's
sitting
in. Truck, yep.
So, hey, it's a small price to pay for some initial heat. So I'm not going to rip that at all. Elliot, yesterday you did the classic move in a scrum where you got right behind Gary and the world saw you. Bravo to you.
I'll explain that in a minute.
Okay. Yeah.
Whatever.
Don't blame Honduras. So you asked Gary how many outstanding issues, sorry, I'm paraphrasing, but, if I remember correctly, you asked him how many outstanding issues there still are. Gary said, Elliot, we're not even kind of thinking in that vein. two questions. One, how many issues do you think are still outstanding? And B, do you feel special when Gary Bettman name checks you?
B, no, because he's name checked me for some raw, for some other reasons before. I think escrow definitely is a big one. Pensions is a big one. The salary cap for 2013-14, as far as I know, is not settled yet. So I would, and that, and escrow kind of transition rules, I'll say those four I think are unsolved. If there's more, they're not as probably big as those four. You know, the reason I stand there is, I, as working as in television, I'm sensitive to the fact that cameras need a straight-on shot. So I never like to get in the way of cameras. But if you stand
just like to get in front of them,
when we're out on the street here, you can't hear anything between the wind and the pedestrians saying, "Who's in there, Obama?" So, you know, between those two things, the best place to stand is either right behind him or right to the side.
Okay, so just in summary, you are thinking of others when you get right behind the commissioner of the National Hockey League during the CBA scrum. So that's the summary we need here?
Yes.
Okay, that's
as always, I am putting myself second, yes.
Gloves are off, Reach. I was looking for violin music, but we couldn't pull it up in time.
Oh, there it is.
There you go. Explain again, Freeze. Sorry, we couldn't hear you.
Explain.
The first
time. So, how much?
You know, you never want to block off the television cameras.
Yep.
And you know, but you can't hear if you're too far behind them because it's windy and there's people on the street asking if Obama's in the middle of this.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So you have to stand behind him in order to hear and tweet.
Man of the people, Elliot Friedman. Here on Tim and Sid's
outstanding
Sportsnet 590, The Fan. By the way, that was actually Ashley McIsaac.
Yeah,
that was from Ashley McIsaac's Greatest Hits.
Canadian content.
There you go. I was almost certain.
It's the only violinist.
It's the only violinist I know. Friedge, if a disclaimer of interest is filed tonight, and antitrust becomes an issue, will all of you reporters sue the league for antifreeze?
That's pretty good, Sid. I like that.
Well, thank you.
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with that today. Like right now, we don't really have to be here. We've kind of been told there's no formal meetings at this time. At least that's what we've been told. So there's no real reason to hang around. We'll see what happens later on. Maybe like it was. You guys will appreciate this. Right next to the NHL head offices is an HSBC bank vestibule for an ATM.
Okay.
And we've been hanging out in there because it's got power and actually has internet. And last night, I understand I was not in there at the time. I was too busy enjoying a whiskey tea while this occurred.
Oh, nice.
But apparently, the bank called security to kick all the reporters out of there at like 11:30 p.m. on a Sunday night, prime banking hours.
Yeah. So the bank calls the cops. We got a bunch of homeless guys. No, that's just Kyprios and Alter.
Alter looks like four homeless guys.
Yeah, he does. Elliot, we appreciate the time. We hope something happens soon. And if it doesn't, I'm proud of the segment that we gave the people.
Right.
Well, all I'm telling this, Sid, after Honduras, if you're saying there's only a 10% chance of the season getting done, we know there will be hockey in 2013.
Yeah, based on my record in 2012, they'll have a deal tonight. It'll be a press conference at 11. Good stuff, Friedge. Stay warm. Thanks, bud.
All right, boys. Have a happy New Year. Good to see you.
There is Elliot Friedman. Hockey Night in Canada. And just so you know, the reference to the segment that Friedge did on Primetime Sports officially means that anytime Friedge comes on, the gloves are now off. We know that of our next guest.
Gloves are off, tin foil on the knuckles. Pre-game.
Taped it up.
I watched Slapshot twice.
Put my foil on.
Put the foil on. It's Friedge time.
Sam Mitchell time.
Sam Mitchell time. Sam hasn't ripped us yet in 2013. That's going to change.
Next.
Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Set your clock radio. It's Brady and Lang in the morning. Tomorrow starting at 5:30 a.m. Tim and Sid.
Sound off, players. How do you get this party started?
Tim and Sid.
How do you get more? How do you disappoint your mom?
Tennessee!
How do you get more swagger in your wagger?
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I like this. Let's change this up. This lockout talk is just bringing me down.
Say word.
Raptors are winning. Game tonight. Sportsnet 590 at the Fan, 7 o'clock. Blazers, Raps.
Interesting stories around the NBA. The Clippers lose. The streak is over. Amari comes back. The Knicks lose. Tons of great stories. Forget this lockout. Now, all we need is someone to come on and talk basketball with us.
If only we had a guy, like a former, ideally, guys, a former NBA coach of the year would be great. If we can't find one like that.
Guy who has his own show on the CBS radio network.
We got a guy, Sam Mitchell.
NBA
don't
TV.
Worry, guys. Don't get jealous.
Happy New Year, Sam. How you doing? Happy New Year, Sam.
Happy New Year, guys. How was your Christmas and New Year?
Oh, it was good. It was good. I partied like it was 2013. How does Sam Mitchell ring in the New Year? What were you up to?
I went to church.
Did you? You went to midnight mass?
I went to church. Went to a 10 o'clock service. Ended at 12:01. And then afterwards, the church served breakfast. We had breakfast. And that's how I celebrate my New Year, man, because I'm thankful for all the good things and blessings that God had bestowed upon me. Even though 2012 was a grind, you know what? It was still a blessing. So I'm just thankful, man, to be here and be healthy.
That gets the horns. That's got to get the horns.
You got all serious on us there, Sam. You started with the don't hate, and then you...
5 years ago, about 5 years ago, I stopped going out, and I started going to church. I've done enough of partying on New Year, so I just started, I feel like it gets me in a proper mental frame for the New Year.
There you go. And eventually, you have enough stories. That was my cue to kind of sew up those days, was when I had enough stories to tell. Got enough stories. Okay. I don't need to keep going out and doing these things anymore. All right, let's talk some basketball, Sam. We know you've been high on the New York Knicks, and so far they've lived up to your words. Amare comes back and they lose. Coincidence or not?
Hello, Sam.
We lose Sam?
We lost Sam?
Hello, can you guys?
Oh, we got you. Go ahead, Sam.
Well, I talked about this last night on NBA TV. Look, the Knicks are going to struggle some with Amari trying to integrate him back into their system on the offensive and defensive end. But think about it. Look at the East. The East is really bad. So outside of Miami, the Knicks right now, if the Knicks play 500 basketball, what, they're 9 games over, 10 games over 500? If they play 500 basketball here or not, they're going to have a second seed. Right?
Yeah, probably. I mean,
you just look at, So for them, what is it? Is it about trying to have the best record in the East? Or is it about them learning how to play together, integrating Amari Stoudemire back in their system? Because let's face it, they're not going to win a championship with just Carmelo. You need two and a half stars to win a championship. Right now, the Knicks got one. They got a good player in J.R. Smith. He's not a superstar, but they got a superstar in Carmelo. And Amari Stoudemire can do things that Tyson Chandler can't do. You can throw him the ball, he can make a move, and he can score. So my thing right now is that Mike Wilson is smart. It's all about integrating that team, getting Amari back in the flow, and then having him and that team ready to play, you know, a good month before the playoffs start for them to be clicking on the same page. But, dude, it really doesn't matter for the Knicks right now about the regular season. They'll win enough games to finish at least second or third.
Sam Mitchell here on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Obviously, the Knicks will spend the better part of the year finding the proper mix with Amare as they work him back. Amare missing 30 games, returned last night. So the Knicks will be an ongoing process. You feel the Lakers will also be an ongoing process, even with Nash back in the fold.
Done.
Whoa.
Forget the ongoing process?
Whoa.
Dude, did you see them last night against Philadelphia at home?
It wasn't great.
But this is the thing. They can't guard. They have a difficult time scoring. Kobe Bryant is playing like he's 25 years old. Kobe Bryant is playing great. But just think of something. They're still looking for the right chemistry and the right lineup. They don't even know what kind of team they are. They're not a defensive team, but they're not even an offensive team. You got Mike D'Antoni still screaming, we're not playing fast enough. And you got Kobe Bryant saying, we're old and slow. So if you got a coach trying to tell them, let's run faster, and the players are saying, we can't run, what do you do? I mean, it's just dysfunction. And you're not going to win with that type of dysfunction. And then, as great as Steve Nash is on the offensive end, he can't guard not one point guard in the NBA. And if you don't have a defensive system, how are you going to overcome the lack of defense at the head, which starts with Steve Nash?
It was supposed to be Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard is the last line of defense.
Yeah.
Your point guard is the first line. If you can, let me tell you something. I don't care how good your center is. If people are constantly getting down, driving down the paint and living in the lane, then your center going to get pissed off because he's going to start picking up a lot of fouls because you cannot block every shot.
Right.
Can't do it.
Right. Draw and kick, too. Yeah.
Well, the last play, Drew Holiday split them like he was Derrick Rose. Like there was little resistance last night. And then, so Sam, let me ask you this. The biggest hurdle towards the Lakers getting out of the West is what?
Getting out of the West?
Themselves?
Dude, they better worry about can they make the playoffs.
You really think they're not going to make the playoffs?
I don't know, but think about something. Two years ago, that the Portland Trail Blazers won 50 games and didn't make it? There's going to be one or two teams in the East with a below 500 record that will make the playoffs. But will 500 even make the playoffs in the West? I don't think 500, 42 and 42 may not make the playoffs in the West.
Yeah.
And right now the Lakers are 500 team at best. They can't beat the good team. And right now they're struggling with the mediocre teams.
I guess it's what you think of those teams ahead. Like, what do you think of Golden State, who's 21-10? What do you think of Houston, who's a couple games over 500? Denver and Portland,
they're a legit team.
Yeah,
I mean, you look at how they play.
I like Golden State.
Good point guard play. They both look at Houston's got a star in James Harden.
Right.
And Omar,
Omer Asik.
Wow.
Can't even say it. It throws him off the line. He said a sheik, and all of a sudden there was like a censorship thing.
The phone line couldn't take it.
Lance got scared.
How
when
Houston
he heard it.
Was a better team.
Omer is sheik.
Roger said, no, can't do this. Can't do this. We'll reestablish connection with Sam Mitchell seconds.
The part of last night that is a mitigating factor to me, now I don't know if this is going to stay that way or it's just what happened last night. They shot the ball horribly. They were 1 of 11 from 3 at halftime, and they finished 3 of 22. They can't shoot that badly all the time, but those issues remain. I just don't know about Houston or Portland, who's in town tonight. Yeah. We'll see them.
Like, look,
By the way, if they make the playoffs, my boy Damian Lillard, holy jeez.
There are people already giving him rookie of the year. Oh. It's not even close. I'm not willing to go as far as to say no playoffs still. As pessimistic a human being as I am, I still believe the Lakers will win enough games.
All right, we got Sam back.
Sam, welcome back. Sorry about that.
No. I heard what you're saying. Look, if the Lakers make the playoffs, is it a guarantee the top four teams in the West that they can beat them?
No.
Can they beat San Antonio in a 7-game series? Can they beat OKC? Can they beat the Clippers? So if they finish 5, 6, 7, or 8, they're going to either have to play San Antonio, the Clippers, OKC, or Memphis.
Right.
And the way they've played thus far, would you bet that the Lakers are going to beat these teams in a 4-game series, a 7-game series?
Sam, listen.
I don't know.
Let's assume what you just said is completely correct, and this team won't beat a top 4 team in the West. So when you put Dwight Howard and Kobe and Steve Nash and Pau Gasol together, and they can't beat a top 4 West team, who's responsible for that? Who takes the fall for that? Because that's incredible.
It's going to be Mike D'Antoni, but he ain't going anywhere.
How many times can you fire a coach?
He just signed another. You know, you're paying two coaches now. So at the end of the day, guys, the chemistry, look, Kobe Bryant came out and said today, we're old and slow.
Right.
So, and Kobe Bryant is playing lights out. Guys, Kobe Bryant hasn't played this good in 2 years. But think about something. Paul Gasol, you can say what you want. Every year for the past 3 years, his game has declined.
Yeah.
Steve Nash is not the – everybody, look. Steve Nash is 39 years old. Come on, guys. And Dwight Howard is not the same since the back surgery. Teams are not afraid of the Lakers now. They look forward to playing the Lakers. Philadelphia going to L.A. and beat them. I mean, they beat them. It wasn't a fluke. It wasn't luck. They beat them.
To answer the question, this falls on ownership and nobody else because they could have had Phil, right?
Hey, look, man. But they could have had Phil. But look at how Mike D'Antoni coaches. He coaches eight guys. If you go back and look through his career, he never coaches past eight. He's uncomfortable trying to integrate that 9- and 10-man guy to a rotation. So right now, you got a guy like Antoine Jameson, not even playing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's not even playing. So right now, that right there is going to call discontent. Now, you're Antoine Jameson, you're not playing and the team loses. I mean, it gets too much dysfunction going on with the Lakers right now.
And what the Lakers...
I mean, they don't even feel like the Lakers right now.
Yeah. And I mean, and other teams are going to get... I mean... Chauncey Billups and Grant Hill aren't even playing for the Clippers right now.
Yeah.
And the other teams are going to get better. Okay, we'll touch on that a lot as the year progresses. There's one thing I want to get to you on regarding the Raptors. Raptors in town against Portland tonight. Top two
they're
picks.
They're playing good.
They're playing great. Won 6 of 7. Top two picks in the 06 draft will be in the same building tonight, Andrea Bargnani and LaMarcus Aldridge. And listen, whether it's fair or not.
Is Aldridge playing now?
He is not. He is not going to play tonight. But LaMarcus
maybe
is,
that's why they won 6 out of 7.
Well,
really?
Let me ask you, has he played his final game for this team?
I don't know if he's played his final game, Scott, but y'all read the comments that he made to the Italian newspaper. I mean, when you make comments like that and then your team without you go out and win 6 out of 7 games and playing a lot better offensively, playing a lot better defensively, how do you integrate this guy back into your team? I mean, he basically threw everybody under the bus with those comments. And now all of a sudden when he comes back from injury, how do you welcome him back, especially when we've been winning? Now, if they bring him back and they start losing, then you know the common denominator is him. So the question is, one, do you trade him? And two, what do you trade him for? And three, who do you let trade him?
You had him.
I mean, it's a lot of things that you got to – consider, but obviously right now, they're a better team without Andrea.
Sam, you had him. Did you believe Andrea Bargnani was a first overall pick?
I believe in that draft, if Brandon Roy didn't have the knee issues, he would have been the number one pick.
Yeah.
But the reason we passed on Brandon Roy is the reason you see now.
Right.
His knees. And Portland has paid him a ton of money. He tried to make a comeback with Minnesota. It looked like it's not going to happen. Brandon Roy would have been the number one. Would have been the number one pick. It was a toss up between LaMarcus Aldridge and Andrea. I mean, we went with Andrea because you know LaMarcus has played great when he's healthy. But I wouldn't say Andrea has been a bust. I just think that year it wasn't a defined number one overall pick like LeBron or Anthony Davis or John Wall or anybody like that. And so I don't think Andrea is a bust. The question is, it's not whether Andrea has talent. The question is, Andrea needs to make up his mind and decide how good he want to be. Does he want to be good, or does he play because he's 7 feet tall and has talent? You know, we talked about this on NBA Talent, on NBA TV last night. Would you rather have a guy with a motor, or would you rather have a guy with talent? And Greg Anthony said he'd rather have a guy with a motor because you know what you're going to get every night. And Steve Smith was saying he'd rather have a guy with talent. My thing is, if you have a motor with no talent, it's only going to get you so far. If you have talent and no motor, it's only going to get you so far. But if you have talent and a motor, those guys are all stars are in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So Andrea got talent, but Andrea needs to look in the mirror and decide, does he really want to be a good player? Or does he just want to make his money and be one of the guys? I mean, it's on him because the opportunity is there.
But it's been there for 7 years.
It's right there for him.
I've been there for 7 years. I mean, eventually you are what you are.
Hey, man, it's hard to argue against that, guys. It's just hard. Because he just doesn't seem like he has the passion for the game.
Sam, let me ask.
It doesn't seem like it's important enough to him.
Sam, let me ask you something. When the rubber hit the road, on the 06 draft and you were coaching this Raptor team, did anyone come up to you and say, who do you want? Who do you think best fits this team?
No, I look, again, that was a tough draft. Like I said, you know, when you look at that draft, Brandon Roar, if Brandon Roar would have had no knee issues, then we would have took Brandon Roar. I mean, but the knee. And then when you look at the next pick was between Andre. Look, when you go for talent, we went for the most talented guy. Yeah. If you look at talent, Andrea is the most talented player. There's no doubt about that. I tell people, Andrea has talent. He's gifted. He's an above-average athlete at 7 feet tall. He has size. He has quickness. He can shoot the ball. He can and Andrea can block shots and rebound when he wants to. The question with Andrea is, how bad does he want it? And that's something you cannot measure. You can't measure how bad a guy wants to be great.
Right.
And so I wouldn't say, you know, it's easy to look back and say, we, you know, the Raptors, we should have took LaMarcus Aldridge. But again, when you just went by talent in that draft, Andrea had the superior talent. So I'm not disappointed from the standpoint that we took Andrea, but I'm disappointed in that Andrea has yet to reach the potential that he has. Because I'm saying, and he may do it one day and it may be somewhere else, guys. He maybe needs some guys in the locker room that's going to light a fire on him. I don't know. But obviously, Andrea has all-star type talent. He just hasn't played up to it yet.
Yeah. And then when you look at the rest, and we've said this before and we'll say it again, when you look at the rest, it's so hard at the top of that draft. You mentioned Roy and Aldridge, but 3, 4, 5 in that draft were Adam Morrison, Tyrus Thomas, and Shelvin Williams.
Now think about something. So, again, I cannot be critical of our decision because if you look at talent, now, you can go back and say we should have took LaMarcus Aldridge. Okay. But if you look at talent, all-around talent, take away what they've done, and you go back and look at that draft, it's hard to argue not picking Andrea. And so, I don't have a problem with the fact that we took Andrea. I think the biggest problem, Andrea, I would say my biggest problem is that I wasn't allowed to coach Andrea the way I was allowed to coach Jose. I was a hard ass on Jose. I was hard on him. But look at the type of player he turned out to be. I was not allowed to be that tough on Andrea because within the organization, we thought he couldn't take it. And my whole thing is, if he can't take it, then we can't build around it. And so you need to find out. And no one thought Jose could take it. But look at Jose did.
Sam, how early in the process was it deemed he couldn't take it?
Early. I think because he was the number one pick and a lot was invested in him, I just think, people in the organization thought my coaching style would be too tough on Andrea. But again, I was right there when Bill, I tell people this all the time. Everybody want to give Flip Saunders credit for Kevin Garnett. No. Bill Blair was Kevin Garnett's first coach as a rookie. And I tell you what, I witnessed it. He was hard on Kevin. He made him work for every minute of playing time. And if you ask Kevin Garnett, he gives me a lot of credit, but if you ask Kevin Garnett, what coach set the foundation for him, he'll tell you Bill Blair. And Bill Blair was tough on Kevin. I was there to witness it. But I tell you what, it made Kevin a much better basketball player because we cut Kevin no slack as a rookie, the coach then and the players then. And I tell you what, you ask him, it wasn't Flip Saunders, it was Bill Blair, his first coach.
Awesome insight, Sam. We're up against it. Appreciate it, and all the best in the new year, eh?
All right, guys. Call me sometimes, guys. We got some time. I'll come in studio with you guys again because y'all need some help, man, when it comes to the NBA. y'all really do.
Right. We have an open door policy because we're terrible. Right. So you're welcome anytime.
Will we ever play hockey again? That's what I want to know.
That was the next question. What are you hearing about the disclaimer of interest, Sam?
Man, let me tell you this. One thing I learned about the hockey owner, they don't play.
Yeah, they already wiped out a season. I mean, we all knew that, definitely. Listen, Sam, I'm so sorry. We got to go. Thanks, man. Have a great new year.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey,
Join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca.
Toronto Raptors basketball. The Raptors versus the Trailblazers. Tonight at 7.
Now, more Tim and Sid on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Tim and Sid. I might be too strung out on compliments, overdosed on confidence. Started Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Stop fearing the consequence. Drinking every night because we drink to my accomplishments. Faded way too long. I'm floating in and out of consciousness. And they say, I love the first line. I might be too strung out on compliments.
I can never have enough.
No, I know that about you.
Because yeah. I don't get many anyway. So, like, the ones I get, I'm like, I'll keep them. I'll save them.
There's a direct correlation with the amount of compliments that you get and the confidence with which you bring to this show.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And the same might be able to be said, at least if we listen to what Sam Mitchell said last segment about Andrea Bargnani. His only regret, or regret in English, was that he couldn't coach Andrea the way he wanted to because the franchise thought Andrea couldn't take it. No, BC, Brian Colangelo was on the morning show today. Too bad on the timing, because I would love to hear what Brian Colangelo would say about what Sam said. And we can effort, but
yeah,
it's rare that a guy will come on a radio station twice.
Well, I mean, if Brian's pissed and was listening, he might call in.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, 416-870-0590. It's open door policy on GMs in the city, too.
Well, we haven't opened our policy on anyone, basically.
Alex Anthopoulos,
except
if you're
for callers.
416-870-0590. And Ron Wilson, if you're in the area,
416-870-0590. Oh, Ron Wilson needs to call.
Oh, we still need the Ron Wilson interview.
Why wouldn't he do it now?
Because he hated the media so much. He's like, to hell with all of them.
Yeah, but we weren't even really in it. Like, we were off from the score.
Alter ruined it for everybody. Because he was down there every day at practice, and it wasn't a good scene. Knowing Andrea the way we kind of do, I'm talking body language, I'm talking how he is on the court, level of aggression, or lack thereof. I don't think it's a ridiculous notion to believe that Sam is telling us the 100% truth on that.
I think
that seems to be Andrea's personality.
Yeah, and there's no scientific matter in what you're talking about, but when Sam said it, both you and I looked at each other and shook our head as if to say, yeah, yep. Completely and utterly see that, and you wonder if that's what you need. But that being said, going into last year, what was the one thing that Brian Colangelo would concede? That Andrea Bargnani needs to be better. And Dwayne Casey, pound the rock, came in with an attitude that he needed the best from everybody. And he got it for a little while from Andrea Bargnani, who played to what? Close to an all-star level.
For like a month and a half.
Yeah.
But
the start of Dwayne Casey's career here, you'd say that he would be more of a disciplinarian than, say, Jay Triano would.
Yeah, I mean, but like you just said, trying to measure degrees of toughness in coaching, like, good luck. It's a hard thing to pin down.
Well, but you know what Jay Triano brought to the table. That was an offensive game plan.
But I think,
you know what?
But I think what we see with Coach Casey when he speaks to people like us and what happens behind closed doors, I don't know if it correlates. You know what I mean? Like Dwayne Casey puts up a very professional, awesome image. I don't know if I'm willing to say he's softer behind the scenes than Sam.
We talk to enough people who are inside those doors every once in a while.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, look, here's the one thing I'm really pondering right now based on that Sam Mitchell conversation. If you realize that early that your first overall pick is a really, really sensitive guy and probably can't take a hard ass as a coach, you can protect him from that. But who's going to protect him on the court from every other hard ass in the Eastern Conference?
Would you like to ask the previous administration about that and a guy named Vince Carter? It's the same thing.
Vince at least gave you something at one point in his career. And then it just tailed.
But that's what you...
They drafted him first overall. It's like they and he can't take a little coaching that's rough around the edges that early? That's startling to me. That's absolutely startling to
me. Come on. There's a million guys that come through this league that just can't take a certain type of style. It's why some coaches are better than others, and some coaches know how to deal with those guys and know how to deal with talent and know how to deal with who needs to be coddled and who needs to be yelled at. I mean, that's
bad. So that wouldn't have raised any red flags with you early in that administration. Hypothetically, you're on the periphery.
Oh,
like you're an assistant GM around Brian, and you see that. You don't go, holy cow.
With everybody. But that's when you draft a guy, you probably know that going in, and that's what their game plan was, obviously, was to coddle him and not to correct him.
But that's interesting in terms of how the conversation with Sam began in terms of motor and talent.
Right.
Some people are like, well, you can't teach talent, so give me the guy with talent. I don't think you teach motor. People assume you can switch a motor on and off. I think that is in you. I think you either have that or you don't.
Yeah, it's funny because we've talked about this in the past, and it is one of the eternal sports questions, whether you can teach that. But there are guys who have figured it out in their career. Kobe Bryant is one of those guys. He had the rings early with Shaq and then wanted to go off and become the guy who's going to set the NBA scoring record and was dropping 81 against the Raps, and they weren't a good team. And then he realized that he needs teammates to win championships again. He needs championships to be considered among the best of all time. So he refigured it out. He may be losing it again right now, but he figured...
But in between, he won two titles.
He figured it out.
Yeah.
Right?
Correct.
There are guys who figure it out, and those are the ones, and you want the guy who not only has talent, has a motor, and has the right attitude right off the bat, but those guys don't come around, and that's why they're so special.
I mean, it's...
Like MJ, people forget, yeah, he was the most talented, but he also had the greatest motor out. I mean, he was yelling at teammates that couldn't hang with him, that couldn't keep up with him.
Well, there you go. Well, that's the classic example. Did that Bulls team suffer because he was yelling at everybody every practice? Did they suffer? Hell no, they didn't suffer. They got better. Didn't matter if anyone liked it. That's not the point. This is a business.
Right, they moved pieces in and out to fit.
And he was still yelling at dudes.
Yeah.
He was still that guy.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter. They still won.
But he was that good. He was the greatest of all time. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know. I'm comparing Bernard and Jordan. It's ridiculous.
Here's
what I'm saying. This is a tough-ass league, Tim. This is tough. None of this is easy. And to coddle a guy who knows nothing about this league, who has zero experience in this environment, to immediately go into his world with this could be one of the greater miscalculations this organization's made in the last 10 years.
I think you're looking hindsight 2020 on this.
Well, what is he now?
No, that's exactly you can say that.
Why is he now?
But do you think that Andrea Bargnani is the only guy who's been coddled and that's been a misstep?
But we are talking about the Raptors organization.
Vince Carter was coddled.
Important.
Vince Carter was coddled, and that blew up in their face.
Yes.
Right?
Because he shouldn't have went to graduation before game 7.
Or his mom shouldn't have been given a parking spot.
Yeah.
Or he shouldn't have been given the keys to the world because he never went to the gym, and you can't give a guy
the keys to the car. Part of the reason he was coddled is because he was on ESPN every night.
Well, because he's got remarkable talent. Right.
But was also producing it for you. And becoming one of the hottest guys in the league.
Right.
Andrea, early in the process. That's what Sam said. Early. No all-star
From
games.
The start, yeah.
No dunk contests. No ESPN appearances. Early was deemed sensitive to that kind of coaching. And here we are. You don't think that's a coincidence?
No, of course I do. I'm just saying that you're saying that in hindsight. But a lot of guys are put in that position. Was it the wrong move? Yes, because here we are 7 years later, and you are what you are.
Sam Mitchell won Coach of the Year in the NBA. He's not dumb. He knows how to handle certain guys. Wasn't always perfect, but he didn't earn Coach of the Year for being dumb on the sideline. The guy kind of knows what he's doing, and they said, hands off. Very interesting.
I would suggest to you, however, just for my counterpoint, that of the however many busts that you want to throw out there in the last 10 years, if there's 100 busts in the NBA, 80 of them were mishandled, and 20 of them just didn't do it themselves. A lot of times, sports is about the situation that you're put in.
And Bargnani, based on what we're hearing?
And there are very few guys who can succeed despite situation. And those are the very best in the world, and they come around once a generation. And the rest need to be put in a good situation.
I agree with you. Based on what we're hearing with Sam, though, he was put in a good situation because it was comfortable for him. He wasn't getting his ass rode on every practice.
No, but we're agreeing that that's probably now the wrong way to go.
Yeah. I'd say so. LaMarcus Aldridge kids is in the ACC tonight.
Would you like to hear what he averages in his last three against the Raptors?
Do you have stats of the guy who was taken second behind Andrea Bargnani, the 2006 entry draft?
So 2006 entry draft goes Andrea Bargnani, LaMarcus Aldridge. Those who want to crush Bargnani leave out the fact that it was Sheldon Williams, Tyrus Thomas, and Adam Morrison who went after that. However,
Adam Morrison has a ring. True. Actually, he has two, does he not?
Would you trade Adam Morrison for Andrea Bargnani?
Hey, rings don't lie.
Yes, they do. The answer is LaMarcus Aldridge is averaging 33.3 points per game and 15 rebounds in the last three games against the Toronto Raptors.
You don't think this kid knows he's playing the Raps?
Oh.
You think that's a coincidence?
Toronto looks for 8 of 9. We'll look to get more answers on this issue next with Doug Smith of the Toronto Star. This is Tim and Sid on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.